All right, so let's go into this Raw after Mania. Yeah, this is supposed to be the big thing. First hour, no commercials. And I'm like, oh, snap, about to get something nice. We got 45 minutes, 50 minutes, niggas talking.
45 minutes.
But let's be clear. Before we, like, shit on WWE for such a long promo, we do have, because I remember you were telling me, because I think I wasn't home yet or something like that, and you were telling me that it was, oh, yeah, because I went out. It was awkward. And I'm like, but the crowd hijacked it. Are you frozen again?
No, we good. Okay. It went away for a little bit. But...
Okay. Yeah, like, the crowd hijacked a good portion of that promo. So I think if they didn't hijack that, it probably wouldn't have been that long. So
they hijacked it for a total of 3 minutes.
It was not three minutes. When I watched it, it was multiple times that they let The Rock talk, and they took, you know, a chunk of that promo out.
Yeah, but that's a dirty dime, man. Like I said, 3 minutes. Right.
Like the thing is that when you booked you could tell that it was booked that way because they had stuff to talk about for the 40 minutes. If you want to say they hijacked it for 10 minutes, they still had like 40, 35 minutes of conversation to have. They wasn't gonna put no match after that. Right after they did whatever they did with The Rock and Cody, they was gonna cut the commercial and come back. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you can tell that whole hour was dedicated for them just to talk.
Yeah.
Like,
but it wasn't. Honestly, I enjoyed it. Maybe I'm biased because you know I'm a Rock fan or whatever.
I can't do that talking, man. I'm here to see people fight.
Cool. Like,
but it serves its purpose.
I can't watch people threaten each other for 45 minutes. I'm gonna fuck you up next summer. Like, with the SummerSlam, cool. I got you. Do something.
The exchange was cool. Like I said, I don't get me. I was engaged in it. It was cool.
Right.
But I'm just like you said, like no matter what, no matter anything going on for too long, you just like
start zoning out.
Like, it's dragging, it's getting a little too long. You start looking at the clock, like wait a minute, thank God it ain't SmackDown. But I'm just like whoa,
right?
And then like
y'all got beef for y'all friends now, like
I said, then it was just awkward. And then like after the fact, like you like the videos come when Cody did it to The Rock when he won, and then he like, can I see your title? And like I said, it goes back to long term storytelling.
Right.
Yeah, so it goes like that. But at the top, at that moment, I didn't know that.
Right. Nobody remembers that.
Well, yeah. But all in all, I think it was his crowning moment, Cody Rhodes, and it was nice to see that The Rock, even though we know he has to go away, it feels like for real this time he's still invested. When he says WWE is my home, and this, that, and the third. That he's invested in progressing the company. Obviously, he has to because being on the board, right? So right. I'm excited to see what's going to come about between their feud. I wonder what he gave him and told him, don't break my heart again.
Gave him a ticket to Black Adam.
But,
Black Adam and Homelander, the same ring.
There you go. So I know it's. I'm excited to see what's to come. I'm excited to see Cody how he this reign of his and what he does with it. We saw what Roman did these past 4 years, and he has big shoes to fill.
It's off to a great start though. So far, it's off to a great start.
But we're gonna find out. We don't gotta wait too long because the draft is coming up on April 26th and April 29th.
Hey, they got some balls doing that during the NFL draft.
Yo. Not only that, I always hate when they start the draft on the SmackDown. Why can't we start at Raw and then continue on SmackDown? I get it. SmackDown is a flagship show.
Right.
But it's just like, now you got to wait a whole weekend.
Well, you're only waiting 2 days for Raw. Like it's actually kind of better if you do it like that, though.
No, because if you do it on Raw, NXT, and then SmackDown.
It's still the same amount of days, Blue.
I feel like when you start, it feels like you start off one week into another one. I don't know. I'm weird.
We know. But I can see what you're saying in regards to NXT because, in the notes that I put, it looks like there's a big emphasis for real, with NXT. Right, because you see, what's his name? Dragunov that came out. Roxanne Perez. You saw Bron Breakker. You're seeing, and then even what's her name? Ava,
yeah,
the Rock's daughter. you know, an intricate part into this talking about the draft. So yeah, I could see that the draft go for 3 days for right. all NXT and SmackDown, especially when we see, you know, wrestlers going to NXT all the time. So, but it'll be interesting to see the shakeup and who goes on to what brand. I don't really think that's a big thing at this point anymore, but we'll see. Maybe they'll put a lot of emphasis on the two different brands or three different brands.
Well, I said they did better. They, like I said, I will give them credit when this year they did better with the people not really going back and forth to show. They did better right. than normal. Like I said, I give them credit. Hopefully they stick to it and get more better with it and let people stay on their respective shows. Because now, like I said, you tag teams is broke up. The women tag team, they could still go everywhere. I froze. Can y'all hear me? Yeah, all right, cool. There I go. So hopefully they do better with that. But like I said, like the NXT, I'm very intrigued what they're going to do with the NXT people. Are they just going to give us the people that we know that's coming up, like Dragunov, Roxanne, and Bron Breakker, and probably Baron Corbin? Are they going to give us more people?
Well, Bron Breakker is unofficial on SmackDown now, right?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, he's officially on SmackDown.
He's officially, but it's still the draft. I'm assuming he could still go to Raw because...
Or SmackDown, yeah.
The draft, or whatever the case may be. But yeah, we spent enough time in regards to the draft.
Go ahead.
Can I talk?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just, because you you sound like you had something else to say.
No, go ahead.
You're good? Okay.
I'm about to do what you was about to do. Go ahead.
And then we saw in the main event, right? We saw the Fatal 4-Way with... for Damian Priest, his world heavyweight title, Jey Uso, Damian Priest, Bronson Reed, and who's the Ricochet.
This was the most random main event I've ever seen in my life. Now I'm over exaggerating here, but it was just like, what are we doing here?
Well, I don't know if it's random. It's just the competitors that are involved. I truly would love to see Jey get a shot and win a singles title because he's completely over. But from the looks of it, we'll get to SmackDown. That may not necessarily happen. But other than that, I don't believe Ricochet is a world heavyweight contender.
Or Bronson Reed.
In the match, or Bronson Reed. Like,
that was Bronson Reed
needs to be built up more. He needs to be built up more.
He got the potential.
Yeah, he has potential, but you got to, like, it didn't make sense. I could have seen.
Go ahead, Cody. Go ahead.
Bronson Reed is the next up. And like I said, yes. She hears me weekly on this. Bronson Reed is great. He, like I said, he finally showed his range in Elimination Chamber, the year before, showed how great he was. NXT, he was phenomenal as the North American champion. He got one of the best entrances if they go back to it when he, like, his little skyscraper thing walking through the building. His move is just, his finishing move is just phenomenal. He could, like, the NXT, WWE speed, he shows that he could move like a big, he can move fast with the little people. And he still got the powerhouse to do everything. He puts on good matches. Like, I just don't like Jey winning. I'm sorry. I don't like Jey winning because, you know, he's not about to win. And like I said, I don't want to crush his momentum. Like I said, I understand it's cool for him to do it. They probably cheat to have him win and be like, oh, yeah, like, it wasn't a clean win. But no, let's stop spoiling
but
that.
He's super over it.
Bronson Reed could have won and could have took that loss. Or like he took that loss to Priest and nobody would have thought about it.
Right.
And Priest could have beat him clean and made him look like a good champion. Or even Ricochet. But I know they want Ricochet not to lose because they want Ricochet to be the speed champion. So I get it. I understand.
I just
feel like Jey's super over. Damian is a heel. You know, yes, it's not like we don't see face versus face and heel versus heel from time to time, but it just didn't make – I don't know. First of all, do we even know that Drew re-signed with WWE?
He hasn't signed.
Okay, so then that's another thing, you know.
But that's what I'm trying to say before the castle thing, right? If they are going to do it, they're going to do the castle,
see,
right?
I can't see him. Yeah, so, yeah exactly.
So
yeah,
that's why I said I agree with the Bronson Reed. The thing and problem is that when you get your most over wrestler, get the title shot, and then lose, it kills the momentum. We seen that happen with LA Knight.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so that's the problem here. Jay's your most over. If he's not gonna win, don't put him in that position to lose.
Ross
can take that L.
Exactly. I agree with that, but I still think Jay should have had an opportunity for a singles title. Maybe not the heavyweight title, but definitely for the mid card. And now
but he should be the heavyweight title later on. That's the thing, right? He
can down the later. No, down the line, yes. But you know how I've said this from day one since we started doing this podcast. I'm a firm believer because I grew up in the Attitude Era. The up and comer wrestlers won the mid card titles, and then they work the mid card scene and then move up to a heavyweight title. Not let's throw whoever's hot and who just came onto the roster and throw them into the main event. I was never a fan of that, so that's why I didn't think.
Hold on one second.
Do the pause. I'm not a fan of like just throwing people because they're hot into the main event scene. I think they gotta work. I personally feel the wrestlers should work in the mid card scene and then do that. So that again with Jay, I feel that should have been his scene. Not let's give him a heavyweight title opportunity and then like you guys said, he lose and it just makes him look bad.
The reason why I think it works for Jay is because he already proved himself like in a mid-card range, not as a mid-card title winner, but as a tag team champion, right? In reality, that's part of the mid-card. I feel like he's done his time in that space where on Raw, especially with the amount of talent they have on Raw, that he's on the upper echelon of that talent roster, right? So I feel like he could fit in the main event roster picture, not having to go through, what is it, the IC title on Raw?
Yeah, he should be the IC champion if it didn't get cheated.
Right, so but he didn't happen for him, but he can still fit in the main event picture. But like I said, Bronson Reed should have just took the L.
Yeah.
let's keep it moving. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it honestly.
Is he a heel or he's a face?
Don't know.
He's that guy.
Okay. Don't know. So that's bad.
But he's gonna be a nice build up. He's gonna be a nice build up to have in their pocket. We're gonna go over to SmackDown now.
Good.
Anything for Brawl that we forgot?
No.
Okay. Let's run to SmackDown.
Shit.
Gunther is gonna come over and take Drew's head off and relieve him of his duties at WWE. let's go over to SmackDown. I didn't really catch much of this. I caught bits and pieces of it.
Oh, man, you made it seem like you was watching the whole thing.
I got kids running around, and I got to, you know, like, it's Friday. Kids is running around. I got to put diapers here, diapers there.
I watched the whole thing.
Right.
You ain't got no diapers to change.
I was front row. I seen the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, you had the amazing seat. Had an amazing experience.
How was that?
Tell us from firsthand.
It was phenomenal. It was a movie. It was great. Like I said, like I got those tickets 15 minutes, 20 minutes before the show. And it was just like a
been
great
telling
thing.
Him sometimes you get the dope seats. You don't have to buy it well in advance. Sometimes you got to wait 15 minutes or so to get some good seats.
And then that phrase, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I just happened to know somebody that hooked me up. And boom, the rest was history. And then, like I said, got a good moment with my daughter. And, she loved it and everything because she's been wanting to go to a show because she hasn't went to a show in 2-3 years. Right. And she's been wanting to go, and
she got the best experience.
Got the best experience ever.
The best experience anyone could possibly get.
Yeah, she wanted to. She really wanted to go to Mania, and like I said, she was like bummed out about it. And I'm like, sorry, babe.
You made up for it. You made up for it
big time. I was trying
more,
to tell
more than made up for it.
She got the Cody weight belt.
She got a little gift from Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, so she got to go into the ring with Cody Rhodes. For the people that's listening and everything, Cody Rhodes had called her into the ring, and she got to go inside the ring and got a standing ovation and got her name chatted by the people, and she was loving it and living it up and everything. And, that's dope. It's right here for the people that's watching. It got it autographed and everything, which is phenomenal. And
somehow that belt is not in her possession though.
The belt will be in Coley's corner, like I told you it was gonna be.
Nah, you think it sounds like that valuable to the kid? She'll mess around, trade it in for a bubble gum. Look what exactly. I got.
this belt with this belt hanging on this wall, it will live and be good for the next 40, 50 years.
Yeah, she get it. She get it. She care for it. She care to appreciate it.
Yeah,
I agree with that. She'll mess around. Yo, you don't know kids. She'll take that to school. Like, look what I got at the show on Monday. Somebody be like, wow, cool. I'll trade you for a pencil. Yeah. You're a good pencil. Like, nah.
I have a little bit more faith in her. That she would trade for a pencil or bubble gum, but you know,
she would lose it. I ain't gonna say she was right. She would lose it. I don't know where it went.
Yeah, you don't know kids. Kids, they got a hole somewhere. They just lose things. You like, you don't know where it went. Like, what happened? I don't know.
I don't know where it went. And don't care about it. And don't care after the fact.
Right. Like nah. Yeah, I agree. Put it on the wall so she's ready for it.
She gonna forget about it.
Nah, she not.
that's one of those memories that you don't forget.
So what are the takeaways that we have for SmackDown?
Yo, Tamatanga.
Tamatanga. And like I said, like that was great and everything, especially me seeing like he came out with a hood and like yeah. You know, during a commercial, come out and then you see like a flock, it's like 15 people. I'm like, who I ain't put two and two together. Cause I don't go to many like shows like Raw and SmackDown. Like I said, I always go to live shows or stuff like that, and I definitely don't come when a appearance come. So you see, like I thought it was like people that was about to adjust the set and everything, and then like dude went under the ring, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm still not putting two and two together. Right. And then it happened, and then I'm talking to Paul Heyman while everything happening. End up going off, and then like I said, it happened, and I was just like, wow, that's phenomenal. The crowd didn't really know who Tamatanga was, and of course,
when I was pulling the notes together for this, and I was just trying to remember the sequence of the order that was SmackDown, and I was reading like on Bleacher Report, and I agreed with this. WWE now has to have a good job in letting us know who he is, right? You know, people don't know that's Haiku's son. People don't know what he's done in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
But
they don't
know.
Yeah, or even know that he's not Samoan. So how's the correlate? What's the correlation and all these different things? So
it's dope. And they need, like you said, they need to show that with him and Haku, and then like with Haku and Rikishi was a tag team
right.
with each other. Like I said, and like when they coming out in SmackDown, and yeah, exactly. I really thought it was gonna put more toward like when they said he was coming, I didn't think he was really gonna be in the Bloodline thing. I thought he was gonna really just be something with Cody. I really thought he was gonna be Cody's first person since they got history with each other and everything. That's what I thought it was gonna be, but. It's cool how it is. Like I said, I was telling like somebody at the show, I was like, this is because they kept saying the tribal chief said this, and then he took the phone from Paul Heyman and stumped on it. And I was like, this looked like Triple H the night after WrestleMania 14. Like, yeah, you dropped the ball, and he's like, losing got consequences. And then he started taking over. Like, what is Solo about trying to be the tribal chief?
Well, that was my question because prior to that, the backstage segment where Paul Heyman was basically telling Jimmy and Solo like
losing got consequences.
Exactly. So basically, now we're gonna do this the right way in getting the title back with the Bloodline. So that to me comes off as, are we gonna see a future face turn when it comes to the tribal chief? Because now you all of a sudden want to do it ethically, so and then Solo's not with it, so he took matters into his own hands.
Did he? Triple H, tribal chief.
He Triple H after WrestleMania 14,
that's what I'm
man. He's making his
right.
own bloodline.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So he took it because you stomped on Paul Heyman's cell phone, and then you tell him this is coming from the tribal chief. Is it or are you the same thing? Right.
But no, that's the thing. Is there a new tribal chief? The way
I've
seen
it,
Solo saying he's the tribal chief.
Nah.
Or is there someone else they have in mind?
We know Jacob coming, so Jacob
right,
is.
But probably, he ain't gonna be. I don't think he's gonna be the tribal chief.
I feel like The Rock is taking over as tribal chief. He's like, you dropped the ball. I'm taking over now.
I don't know. It's so many ways this can go. This is a call coming from The Rock.
That's why he said, don't call Roman. I'm getting the info from The Rock, the new tribal chief. Roman was just the tribal chief because he was a champ. He ain't champ no more. So now, in the pecking order, Rock is running the business. So he's the tribal chief. So I'm getting my orders from him.
It's so many ways this can go. Like I said, like I just hope they don't fumble it. It's so many ways this can go, and I'm here for it.
Bloodline drama.
I'm here for it.
As long as it is played out right.
He'll come back. Go ahead.
I'm here for it, especially like what you're saying in regards to like. You know, if that the orders are coming from The Rock, now it makes sense because especially when Rock told Cody, you know, your story is over with Roman Reigns, but you and I,
he's the final boss.
He's just begun. So, and shout out to Cody, by the way, just to wrap this up. Shout out to his line when he said, "Who the hell told you this was open mic night, bitch?" Like, we copied Brandy.
Yeah, and the crowd went nuts because you know she's from out here. So
she's
from Canton where I stay at. But yeah. it's just 30 minutes from Detroit.
That's dope.
You know,
that's
so dope. That was dope that he did that. But yeah, it's a lot. It's still more bloodline stuff, and now it's breathing in more life.
Jimmy and Jay come together? Now that's the part I'm curious about. Do the Usos come back together?
They come back to help Roman?
Jimmy needs Jay. He's just the way they booked him.
They booked him back.
Yeah, they booked him back. So at this point, Jay don't need him at this point because he's completely over. But Jimmy definitely needs Jay. So he loves his brother.
He can't let his brother hanging.
Yeah, because the dark match. The dark match after that was Jay versus Solo. And of course, Jay won.
But Jay, see, this is my problem, right?
But once again, Solo doesn't count the lights. That's why I keep telling everybody he keep losing by disqualification and stuff like that. Like he hit Jimmy and he hit Jay in the nuts, and he lost.
But that's my thing though. Solo talking about wins and losses. My man is 0-39 since losing to John Cena. That's a fact. I've seen it online. This man is 0-39, and now you worry about wins and losses.
He never count the lights though. He really hasn't counted the lights though.
He still got one on the winning side though.
I get it.
He still don't have a point on the winning side. How you about wins and losses? You ain't got one win.
Like who has really beaten Solo? Like
himself, apparently.
Himself.
even though with a record like that, it's like he still has a presence of like,
of course,
not to be messed with. So they've done a good job in that sense.
Or even if he don't even disqualify himself, like somebody like how it was on that Raw before Mania, like everybody came in and started jumping on people, like everybody interfered, right. And it's like, yeah, he doesn't count the lights. I guess that's the cool part. He only counted the lights twice in his career.
Yeah, I guess. moving on though, let's get this Naomi versus Bayley next week after she defeated Tiffany Stratton this past week. How y'all feel again? Tiffany Stratton, an NXT person coming up and filling in some shoes.
Well, Tiffany, I think her future is bright. You know,
super over.
And I'm not even saying it because of appearance wise. She's talented, and it seems like a lot of people are on board with her, but. Kind of like we discussed about Raw, there's a pecking order, and Naomi from day one has deserved a shot, right? That she never really got. Maybe once around 2016, 2017, when she had her one and only title reign, but
she won a championship at Mania,
right?
That's what I'm saying. But that was then, you know, but ever since then, it was always something, or she wasn't. I'll never forget, there was a quote that I read from her. She's like, it doesn't even matter at this point to necessarily win titles. It's, she wants a good feud.
Right.
And that's all she's ever really wanted, was like to be in something good, not you just throw her in there, you know, and the crowd reacts, whatever. So I'm interested to see, where is this an actual feud, or is this a one and off, or is this a turn heel? Like, what?
Tiffany will get involved in this match, and she's
Tiffany will probably get involved. You know, I think now we're finally seeing, I don't know if because this is a restart, we're kind of seeing the women's storylines kind of, you know, starting up again. There's multiple things going, even with, like, going back to Raw briefly, we saw with Indy and Candice LeRae, like, you have a storyline, but there's no title, right. Which is, we're fine with stuff like that. So, you know, and then, you know, moving to Jade and Bianca, the matching gear, it looks like we're setting up for...
You got Liv and Rhea storyline picking up, too.
That, too. So we see...
She nailed her ass with that chair.
Yo, oh my gosh. Like, oh, also shout out to the camera work they've been doing too, coming from the back, going into the arena. That's been dope. That's a dope camera work.
We were talking about that, like how they've done that. So there's a lot of things, it seems like, that's cooking with the women's division now, and I'm hoping it continues that way.
I just hope that they don't. It's a situation. I'm trying to get it out, right? I'm watching Jade and Bianca, and I hope that's not a situation where they're just going to be tagging where Bianca does the legwork and then tag Jade for the hot tag for two to three moves. But my thing is that we spent like just 6-7 months not seeing Jade, and when we asked about that, they were saying that she's preparing working her in-ring, right? She's doing the exact same thing that she was doing before with the other company, and to me it's like, you can't in WWE. I guess it's easier to do it to protect her in that way, but it's just like eventually you're gonna have to do more, especially if you try to get in a ring with Bianca Belair.
Does she? I mean, I would want her to do more, but does she? We've seen like with Goldberg went from WCW to WWE, essentially
175-0, like
right. Spears, jackhammers, and Cold of the Day, and transitioned ultimately in WWE. So I mean, maybe it's just certain wrestlers that's going to be their calling. And Jade has a look, you know, she looks phenomenal, and I think you can truly hide behind that. Would I like her to do a little bit better when it comes to in-ring performance? Absolutely, just because she looks so good, you know, I feel like she can really do more. But maybe she has like her ceiling is a certain thing. I don't know, but I think it's definitely going to be what you said that. Hiding behind Bianca and then the hot tag and two or three moves.
I think it's coming. Like I said, like tell everybody, just let it cook, let it play out. Let's see. Like I said, it's still early in the game. We ain't even at the end of the first inning yet.
With her, it's been like she's been in this business for now 5 years. Yeah, and it's been the same thing. So when is it gonna pick up? Okay, like let's be honest. She had one-on-ones with Brian Danielson, one of the best wrestlers in this world.
Yeah.
And you still didn't have any progression. That's scary.
Well, I mean, but
or is it the booking, though? We don't, like I said, we
it
don't,
could
we,
be
we
booking. Don't. It could be some people are just genuinely, like, you can, like you said, yeah, you can learn from, like, some of the greats, but there's some people aren't necessarily gifted like the others. And I'm not saying that. You know what I'm saying? Right, because
that's what I'm saying.
Let's remember, like, when Sasha was in WWE and she had that feud with Carmella. She made Carmella look amazing, but we know someone like Carmella who's been in NXT. That's a developmental brand, and she just wasn't really strong as a wrestler. You know, she's a good character-wise. That's the name of the game. You're gonna have people.
But Carmella got better after a while. She got.
I'm not saying she hasn't gotten better. But remember, I used to shit on Bliss all the time.
Yeah.
You know, because she never really took bumps in the second, third. You see progression with some people, but some people are just more gifted on the mic. People are just some gifted character wise. Some people are just gifted in the ring. That may be her ceiling, but like he said, you got to give it time and see how this plays out. But they're definitely, obviously, gonna be. It could be the booking, so but we got to see. But I definitely, they're going to be tag team champions, or at least go for a tag team goal.
Yeah, like I said, I feel it's good for them to be like that, and they preparing and helping each other and doing everything. And like I said, she's going to build Jade up, and Yeah, it's gonna get to the point. Like, yeah, Jay probably turn. Hell, we might get a Bianca heel turn. Who knows? We could get that. People have been clamoring for Bianca to go
To
heel.
see what she
Yeah,
actually
Bianca
does
get
do.
another element in her character.
Yeah, like I don't play second fiddle to nobody.
Right.
She could probably
Especially
get
since
that
the
mode.
EST. Right,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
And we've seen Bianca's heel work was fucking awesome in NXT. So
Yeah. People
there's a
forget
lot of
that.
things. Yeah,
I
there's a
forgot that a little
lot.
bit. I ain't gonna hold you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of different ways things can go about when it comes to Jade. But we in this instance, I'm willing to let it play out and be a little bit
It
more
could.
patient.
I want this to
Because
be
he's
a slow candle.
WWE, right?
I want this to be a slow candle.
Because
Because
it was AEW. I've been up down her back saying
I like I said, like
No.
but hey, like I was all for her winning like that in AEW. So like yeah,
So I'm
and
joking. I'm
I
joking.
know.
I'm picking at the
AEW.
people that on WWE, like the whole tribalism, they'd be like, because I'm seeing a lot of talk, man. I'm like, yo, that's why I can't stay on this Twitter. Let me get off now.
Yeah, no, Twitter is a different, but I mean, I think we've spoke enough about WWE. Do we really need to talk about the LA Knight and AJ Styles? Because we can talk about
Yeah.
AEW. Because we already, like I said, like we said, for Mania, it didn't make sense for them to have a match, just for them to now have
Oh,
a match.
let's like this is what we could touch on. All right, so both of them triple threat matches, right? You know, everybody that was in these triple threat matches lost, except for Bobby Lashley.
Yeah,
Like y'all talk about the fatal four
that's
way was
that,
thrown.
yeah.
Y'all talk about a fatal four way was thrown together. These matches was thrown together.
Yeah,
Like
yeah, yeah. Because like,
he picked everybody that
how
lost.
do you determine, like, yeah, like, you lost at the biggest, on the grandest stage, but now you get the opportunity to go to France and potentially compete for the not just the world heavyweight title, but the undisputed title. That's, yeah.
And Bobby
That's.
Lashley's the one that doesn't get it. Like, I don't understand why they
I
don't let
thought
Bobby
Bobby was
Lashley
gonna win
just be
it.
Drake.
Yeah,
I
just
didn't
let
think
him be
Bobby was gonna
Drake.
get it.
Yeah,
I
I
don't
thought
know.
Bobby was. I thought Bobby
I
was
don't
gonna
know
win.
what it is when it comes to Bob. Like, Bobby is great. Street Profits they're great. And then when you
Brie
put them
Fabi's been
together,
showing her work.
she has to,
You gotta
she's, you know, doing her
use an
thing too. But it's just
opportunity.
like, but now when you put them together, it just doesn't gel. And it's unfortunate because Bobby, over the past couple of years, has been one of my favorite wrestlers to watch. But yeah, there's a disconnect. But I didn't think he was gonna win. Again, it's that whole, because now they're face. They made them face again. That face dynamic wasn't gonna happen at Backlash. It had to be a heel, which is
Yeah,
AJ Styles.
and I think it's gonna be AJ Styles versus Cody. I think that's gonna happen. AJ ain't gonna lose twice to LA Knight,
Exactly. Right.
he
LA
better
Knight is
not.
not gonna win.
And then
Yeah.
Cody and AJ Styles got history, so
Yeah,
that'll be a good
the
first
whole
feud.
Bullet Club thing, and if there's something that they play up to, yeah, there's a lot more with that. But then it goes back to what you said with Jay, like, you putting people in these positions and they're completely over just for them to keep losing in these big spots. You know, I don't know how much more LA Knight's popularity
You take.
can take when you keep losing the big one. So, but
He won, technically won a big one at Mania.
that doesn't
Was
mean
it
anything.
big?
Right.
Technically.
He won the
He
one that got
had a
a
Mania win. He had a Mania win. He
name.
had a SummerSlam win. So
Yeah,
that's
but
about it.
nothing is nothing to show for it.
That's about it. And it stops
So.
right there.
But all right, Mark, unless you wanted to talk about
Let's talk about AEW in this video. That's why I
right.
was happy
He
to come.
ready. He said this was a very WWE dominated show,
Nah, because
you know,
you talking about, I mean,
but
you
it
got
was
some decent
Mania.
AEW, but you
No,
ain't.
I put
Like, I
this.
wanted
I
to
put
bring up
this.
how Moxie done won the IWGP Championship and
I
stuff
get that.
at
Let's
his
talk about.
first.
Well, we got to get to that first. We're going in order, right? We got to go to AEW in this
Right,
video.
right. Come
You
on.
got to go to
Come on.
AEW in this video.
We
Go
got
ahead. I
we
want to hear
got
your
five
point of
we
view. I
got
really want to
we
hear your
got
point of
five
view
we
on it.
got five
I ain't
more
even going
minutes
to
for
bash this.
AEW.
I ain't going to bash on it. I just
5 minutes
want
to
to hear your point
AEW.
of
You
view
see
on it.
that? We spent over an hour on WWE. And
We
I'm
got
gonna tell
five
you, I'm
minutes.
gonna start another show on the
We
mixed
got
tag show. I'm
five.
gonna start a
We should
whole
have
one just
started
for
off with this.
AEW
We
and
should have
other
started off
worlds.
with this. Like I really just want to hear your take on this and
We want we
how
but we
bad
want
this
people to
is.
stay. We want people to stay and listen, not start. And if we start off with
I
AEW,
just really want to
I'm
hear your
saying.
point of view. Because I was about to hit the group message and be like, yeah, man, what's going on?
All
I
right,
want
so
to be,
here's the
but
thing, right?
this is what he's been waiting for. This is like, listen, this is our main event right now. supposed to be ready to like go back and forth with you. So this is now that we have this, this is going down. We gotta make all a graphic, pull this clip, ding ding ding, boom.
Like, seriously, I want to hear this. I really want to hear your take. I want to hear you stand up for AEW with this.
I'm not standing up for it. For me, like I've said, they want to play the footage, let them play the footage. I ain't gonna hold you. Like, if they want to play it, let them play it. Because at the end of the day, let's be honest, I don't know how you guys felt about it. WrestleMania week, you're doing a lot of promo to represent and promote WrestleMania. Genesis is a lot. When you're promoting your biggest show, when AEW used to do this, taking shots at WWE when they're promoting their stuff, she used to say it was tacky. And I didn't disagree with it. I just said that's just their DNA. That's what they used to. That's what they used to do in the indies. This is what they're used to. I agree. It shouldn't be done every time because you got to promote your show too. In this case, it's WrestleMania week. Why is Punk talking to AEW and why is Triple H taking shots at Willow Spray? Let's be honest. Like, this is your biggest week, right?
Willow Spray.
Yeah, he took shots at Willow Spray.
I forgot to put that.
He didn't say nobody's name or anything.
But we knew who he was talking about. You
told me that. That could have went to about all three of them, all three of the big three signings that they had. It could have went to all three of them.
No, because it's Will Ospreay, because they was talking on it. There's been talks that the biggest talk he's had with was Will Ospreay. Ospreay was the only one that was on the fence. The reason why he went with AEW is because of the schedule. Everybody knows this. Mm-hmm. So when he said that...
What was Hunter's exact...
He said that people are running from the grind because of the schedule. So
Well, and then Mercedes, when she had that right before she debuted it on Big Business, she was mentioning about the schedule and all the different things that she could do.
But like the way Triple H made it seem like he's like, when you're starting in this company, and Will Ospreay is the youngest one in this group, that's why everybody put one and one together, like. He's like, when you're growing up in this business and you're running away from the grind, Mercedes done did it already. So she's not talking about Mercedes. You know what I'm saying?
What about Okada?
Was never a big shot of side of WWE. He's always going to go AEW. They never had a shot at him. Let's be honest.
We all thought that because he wanted to go wrestle at WrestleMania. Honestly,
he always trusted Tony Khan. The Young Bucks are like his best friends. Everybody knew that. Will Ospreay was the only real one that was on the fence when it came to signing, right? So when he said that, everybody already knew who he was aiming at. It's your WrestleMania week. Why are you talking about somebody that did a signing a month ago, right? Okay. So Will Ospreay, that's why he took his shot.
Tony told him to say that, but come on.
No, he didn't. He wanted to say something else, and Tony said no. Tony didn't tell him to say that. He wanted to say that himself. He wanted to say something else. He wanted to add to it, and Tony told him, no, just stick to this. So that's that to the aspect. Here or there, Will Ospreay is defending himself, whatever. When it comes to the CM Punk situation, again, why are you bringing this up? Even Jade did the same thing in her interview. She brought up AEW when it was even asking about AEW.
Well, hold on. Before you say why it seemed, remember, what's dude's name? I forget. Ariel.
Ariel.
Yeah.
He asked directly about AEW. He asked directly about AEW.
He asked directly about AEW.
Yes.
This is not a WWE platform right here. They're doing his own either.
Yeah, but Ariel, right. Everybody knows that he's signed. Like, he's basically biased towards AEW.
He does BTS Sports with WWE.
Yeah, he does. He already acknowledged that he's WWE biased. So when he asked about the AEW situation, to me, I felt like that was the time, just like AEW has done. When they asked about CM Punk, they're like, we moved on from that situation. Let's keep it moving. Let's be honest. Ever since this thing happened, the AEW hasn't said nothing about CM Punk, haven't mentioned anything. They got rid of, not get rid of, but they sent Jack Perry on a sturgeon just to keep that situation away from everything, right? So when Punk got asked the question, Punk didn't have to answer it the way he did and make himself look like a victim. That's the thing. I think that's what made this whole situation weird, is because Punk made himself look like a victim. Like, hey, you know, I was just asking the kid, and he came at me, and then I just defended myself. I don't know why Tony was scared for his life. So that, I kind of feel like that's what pushed their hands to say, all right, let's just show the footage to show that he was lying. Did the footage show that he was lying?
No.
Yeah, kind of. But
no, No,
because here's the thing. No. He made it seem like Jack Perry was aggressive towards him. Jack Perry
he said he went to Jack Perry.
Yeah, but he said he was acting.
Hold on, wait. Remember, like he said he went to Jack. Jack Perry. He didn't say. He said I didn't put hands on someone. I choked someone. He said that.
Yeah, but he did put hands on him. He pleased the first one that hit him.
He's just saying.
He literally listened to what I'm saying. Punk literally said what happened. He's like, I didn't punch anybody. I choked someone out.
Yeah. He said Samoa Joe was there. He said Samoa Joe was there. Which Samoa Joe pulled him off of him.
Exactly. Punk never said there wasn't a brawl. Punk said he didn't handle his business. And I'm not even, and this is where I'm telling you, I'm not necessarily taking Punk's side, because someone said this on Twitter and I agree with this. If you lay your hands on an employee, yes, you should fire that person. Absolutely. You shouldn't necessarily put your hands on someone. But the point of airing the footage was to make Punk look like he was a liar. And what happened, what Punk said, even people put the voiceover over the video, and it happened verbatimly what happened. Nothing. And how could Tony fear his life at that particular point? Tony wasn't even in the vicinity.
He didn't go at Tony. Like, he went out and did his match.
There was nothing like it. It just sounds like what a Karen does, right? Because when you see someone and they speak their piece, oh, I fear my life. That's exactly what Tony Khan came off as. Let's call a spade a spade.
It looked bad.
So here's the thing. Punk said that he didn't put his hands on him, he just choked him out a little bit.
I didn't punch anybody. That's what he's saying. He said I choked somebody.
He said he didn't put his hands on, he just choked him out a little bit, right?
It's a video, like you said.
This whole thing was that he just choked him out a little bit, right? But the video doesn't show that. Video shows him putting his hands first on Perry by pushing him and then going forward again. And grabbing him in the head, in the front headlock, and choking him. I'm gonna be honest with you.
He put him down here like he's about to power.
My point was he tried to make it seem like he was being defensive, but he was the aggressor, right?
No, because if you look at the video
that Jenna's talking about, he's saying it, and everything that he's saying is going exactly how he said it.
But they miss it when they're talking. It skips the part where. Again, Punk he pushes also, him and approaches him again and then put him in a headlock. Like, if somebody pushes you, you're gonna be defensive.
But Punk also said to he went up to him because he was talking all this shit and said, why are we doing this? Like, he literally goes up to him. We don't know what was actually said because they decided to
read no audio. The bridge
with no audio. But
a security camera. Most security cameras don't have audio.
Regardless of the fact, though, he went up to him. He acknowledged that he went up to him because he felt he was talking shit. There was a scuffle. Samoa Joe was there. Samoa Joe probably said, yo, whatever, break, and pulled everything away. But everything that happened, Tony Khan wasn't running for no one ran for their life.
Let me get through this, all right? Because you guys are cutting me off. I'm trying to tell you.
I'm sorry.
From the beginning of this, I always said that Jack Perry initiated all of this by saying, real glass, cry me a river, right? Like, he didn't have to do that at the pay-per-view. He didn't need to take a shot at, because everybody during that week, everybody knew that Punk and him had an issue with using real glass. Like, that was the thing. So for him to go on the TV and knowing that Punk's match is next, why would you do that? That was stupid. Like, you're antagonizing the guy. I never took that away. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, in this sensitive situation, I'm not saying Perry is right, and I'm not saying like Punk is right, because at the end of the day, they both were stupid. Let's keep it 100. In the case of the video, what I'm saying is, yes, Punk's what he's saying is matching, except the part where he pushes the guy. That's my biggest thing. You push somebody, they're going to get defensive. You put their hands on them first. Yes, no matter what he said, you put your hands on somebody first. That's a violation. And then you approach them again. Because the moment that you push them away and then approach them again, you're an aggressor. At the end of the day, you're aggressor. And when his interview, he didn't make it seem like he was the aggressor. He made it seem like he was just defending himself, and he didn't say anything to Tony Khan to make him feel. After he did whatever he did with Perry, you see him step off behind the wall.
I'm done. This is stupid.
Right.
You're a clown.
For Tony Khan. Tony Khan is not a fighter. Yes, he might be a punk. This may make him look like a punk. He's a punk. But if you just saw somebody get into a scuffle and they're heated and they jump over at you, he can say threat for his life might be over exaggerated. But he can feel like, all right, is he about to attack me next? Because they just attacked this dude and they were just talking. Like, as a billionaire, you know how billionaires are. They're very protective of their lives. You know what I'm saying? Like, so to my point is, the video, them releasing the video, that was the decision. Whether it was a good decision, a bad decision, I've seen both sides, people arguing, like, yeah, this is a good idea, this is a bad idea. In my opinion, I saw that it showed that Punk was a liar, but at the same time, it didn't need to be put on TV, because right now, you're putting some of the best product you got right now. That's the way I look at it.
I'm gonna disagree about him being a liar. I'm gonna let
because you can't make yourself look like a victim and get on as the aggressor.
But I don't think he's making himself look like a victim. I think it was
Coming off as a victim. It wasn't no victim role in this. He sat here and said what he did. He went up to him for his hot shot booking and sitting over saying he confronted him. Like I said, let me go back to that. Somebody, like, people say that in wrestling, it had way worse happened in locker rooms.
Of course, they have.
People in WWF said it was way worse in the Attitude Era, when somebody went off what it was. It was real fight.
Yeah, it was.
So even that little ass scuffle right there was whack. It was trash. I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, the first person to touch something, yeah, you get fired. You do, rightfully so. But he said, I quit even before that. And then still went out there and put on a banger. Yeah, I give CM Punk credit for that. And like I said, two, Tony Khan, that was just whack. Like I said, it's no end game for him showing that video. That's the part I'm saying. Like, what perk are you getting except for you over here promoting the match? You're promoting the match.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I said at the end. Like, to me, you be putting out some of the hottest products you had right now. You're being distracted by, like, so they, to me, in my opinion, it was whack on both sides. I keep saying that. Like, he should never answered about it, and he should never showed the video. I see why they showed the video, but it's just like,
I still don't see why the video was shown. Like,
there was no need for that. I agree. Video.
There was no need to, because it doesn't make CM Punk look like a flat out liar. But did it really?
I mean, yeah, because there's people that everybody's not gonna see the video the same way. Let's keep it 100. Like, again, I always say this when I was in college and I learned law and stuff like that. Everybody see videos a different way. That's why a lot of times when juries, you got to make sure it's definite. If you brought this in front of a jury, this would not be definite. Okay. The way you see it are different from the way I see it, right?
Okay, but you bring this up in a jury, though. Majority rules, right?
I'm saying is the perspective. That's what I always say. If you want the perspective of the video definite, this video would not win it because it's not definite. That's what I'm saying. But some people who's in the jury might see it like I see it, like he's the aggressor. Some people might see the way you see it.
I
don't even care about the aggressive part. That's the thing. Right, I don't even care about the aggressive part.
I agree with that. I don't think anyone's disputing the fact that he was exactly. No one's disputing the fact that he was the aggressor. But liar, no. That's one thing, and that's one thing that's been said about CM Punk. He may be an asshole, but you have never heard anyone say CM Punk is a liar. And that video, verbatim, is what happened.
Nah, he left out the shoving and being aggressive.
I
choked him up a bit. He's not even disputing the fact that he didn't tussle with him. He didn't even say, oh, Jack. And if he said, oh, Jack hit me first, now you're lying. He literally said, I handled my business.
I went up to him and I said, what the fuck was that about?
What's good? That's what CM Punk in a nutshell said when he was asked that question. Back to your point, I think we both, all three of us can agree, it hurt them more by showing it. Never mind the fact that he was a liar or not. I don't think
the locker room even agreeing with it though. They saying that they like the Young Bucks didn't even want that to play. Tony wanted that.
So here's the thing. I think that in the beginning, this brings up a lot of discourse like we having right now, where fans felt like it shouldn't have happened. Some fans felt like it happened, whatever. But at the end of the day, it did benefit somebody.
The viewership.
Jack Perry. Because at the end of the day,
he's been
running with the scapegoat situation. And if you follow what happened to him in Chicago, my man got cheered in Chicago. Like my man is using this to the T. That's what I'm saying. But okay. It didn't help AEW like Tony thought it would help AEW. Let's keep it 100.
Yeah, it didn't.
If it was my decision, I would never show the tape. My shit is hot right now. Fuck what they're doing. I'm going to keep rocking.
And
I saw why they did it. I saw what they was trying to accomplish. But to me, that's what I would do. But at the end of the day, it did benefit Jack Perry. Because Jack Perry is now, AEW, he's going to be like that. Like, how you get cheered and got people, like, Chicago crowd. Y'all know how much Chicago loves CM Punk.
Punk, yeah.
They're singing Cry Me a River during his match. Like, that's a big win for Jack Perry. And when he comes back
from his time in Japan and
back to AEW, it's going to be a big chance.
And they need to capitalize on that and bring him back.
And that begs the question.
Now, don't rush it. Let it cook.
But my last point on this, and we move on. That begs the question, though. Again, and I've been saying this multiple times on here with Tony Khan. It's like you see all the different hats he wears. He's control creative. He's CEO. Producer. Like
He gave up the CEO position. And this is the thing. He's hiring more people to take more off of him
at this point. This right here shows he does not have the mind for creative. Why is it that you thought this would benefit your company and it didn't? But meanwhile, Jack Perry was able to like, all right, how can I work this in my favor? And that's him on his own, not his company helping him. And this is why I've said over the past couple of years when it comes to AEW, we keep saying give it some time, but I just feel like there's a disconnect in regards to running a wrestling show, a wrestling promotion, in my opinion, when it comes to Tony Khan.
I think he made some good decisions, especially in the past couple of months, in terms of AEW. This is his first lapse in a very long time. He's starting to find the identity for AEW, especially with the Continental Classics, the way he's been building up the characters like Swerve, Samoa Joe. The women's division is gotten a lot better.
This is where the best wrestlers wrestle.
Right, like I feel like he's building. I feel like he's building more stories for the women as well. He's been hitting. This has been the first bad decision he's done in a while. And honestly, I've told Jenna this. I've told people. I've told all the time. For a while, it was on the ropes where he did one more bad decision, and it would have been terrible for AEW.
It's terrible for AEW right here.
But he had a couple of wins now, so he this was one of the things he could afford. He's trying to take the little L.
I'm sorry, this ain't no little L.
Well, an L, however people would measure it. He's allowed this one L because at the end of the day, Will Ospreay is running around for them. Like, Will Ospreay was a good spot for them that night. They still got their storylines going. That's what I'm saying. Like, you got so much going on with AEW, you didn't need to do that.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm for AEW, but right there, I was a waste of my time. I stayed up. I fought my sleep to sit here and watch that.
He got pissed off. I think at that point, and then he's like, I'm done with AEW.
I was like, that shit was trash. And then you see everything that's coming out with it. They said like people saying that FTR stuff that wasn't even scripted. What they came out with that was really legit. Like there was no point in showing that video. It was stupid. They didn't want to hype the match. Then they said they're using it to hype the matchup because it was a distraction, and that's why the Young Bucks lost. Like, come on now. Like that was them two teams right there alone don't need it. Like I said, I'm not gonna sit here and say Vince was the greatest booker and everything. Vince does some dumb shit. We all agree with that. But that right there was just terrible right there. Like, that was a terrible book. Hopefully he bounced back and learned from that and stayed the fuck away from creative. Because that
I think the bounce back, I'm not ready to write AEW off. Like I said, that was a bad judgment call. And clearly, because they didn't even upload the footage, right? So
yeah,
Yeah, they took it all. They took it all down, and they got more dislikes. They got more dislikes on YouTube than likes on there. They had like thousands and thousands of dislikes than likes.
I'm willing to give them a shot because, like you just mentioned, with Bucks and FTR can do the damn thing. We're still waiting for Swerve to get his moment, and
it was a panic move.
Coming to become to become champion. We're still waiting.
Athena's on Collision now.
Athena, she had a dope match with Red Velvet on Saturday. Yes, I watched it. Surprisingly, I watched Collision and Battle Belt. Yeah, on a Saturday night. Check me out. But
because she wasn't feeling well.
Because I wasn't feeling well.
Hey, Mercedes book. And I'm sorry, Mercedes booking is trash right now. I don't care what nobody say. Like I said, this is me as a fan talking.
She's been doing anything.
She's not doing nothing. Like, wait. We can all agree. I say, and Jenna could too. And she the biggest Sasha fan in here. Mercedes fan. Her promos and talking is not her strong suit, and it's going to end up backfiring. If she doesn't get in the ring. She needs to fucking.
She's
going to
get in the ring. She just said she's going to challenge
March 26th?
TBS Championship. Like
May 26th.
No, at Dynasty. What's that? A few weeks from now.
She's not fighting in Dynasty.
She's fighting at All In. She's not fighting for
the TNT Championship. Like her promos is not her strong suit. She needs to get in the ring and fight. I'm getting tired of her.
We don't know. Time out. We don't know if she's not going to be a Dynasty or she's not going to have a match before them because now the situation is back.
We're not saying she's not going to be a Dynasty. What we're saying is because she said this on Twitter. When someone asked her, when are you getting in the ring? She said, All In. Because now it's the thing where Mercedes not keeping necessarily keeping things close to her chest. She's actually like was talking to fans and responding to everything that they were asking. She legitimately said her first match will be at All In, and she said, and then she even said it on Dynamite a couple of weeks ago that she's ready waiting for the winner between Julia and Willow.
I'll be there.
My thing is,
All In is in August.
Double or nothing.
But that makes sense because that's in Vegas. That's one of their big pay-per-views. That makes sense. You get the pay-per-view guys.
But I hear what Coley's saying, and I understand your standpoint, but there has to be I agree with what he's saying in the sense of I love Mercedes down, right? But there's so much you can do by coming out. It was dope when she came out in Boston because we haven't seen her in X amount of years, and now she's in her hometown. It was a triumphant moment. The following week, it was cool too because now it was like, all right, now the women's division is all of a sudden cooking. But it's so many times someone's gonna keep coming out and just talking or showing up on commentating. It's like now we didn't come here to see you talk. We came here to see you wrestle. I'm all about waiting. I'm giving it a shot, but I'm just like.
2 months is too long.
But
y'all waited for Jay for 7.
Maybe she wasn't clear. Maybe she wasn't.
I was getting frustrated with Jay, but Jay wasn't on TV every week. How Sasha is. It wasn't no big.
Yeah, but that's my problem, right? It's better to have her at least being seen so she's not forgotten.
Now
she has the angle of who attacked me. She's not gonna just be out there talking, and just be like, hey, I can't wait for Double or Nothing. Now she's gonna be on a hunt.
Yeah.
Like, all right, who's attacking me?
But is she going to fight, or are she going to be?
Yeah, she's going to find maybe a backstage ball, whatever. Like you said, less talking and more physical.
Because like I said, with the whole Jay thing, we want to compare that to Jay. I was getting frustrated with Jay. I was like, Jay needs to do something. Then she just went away. Like she's showing up to all the shows and all the stuff, and then she had her little NXT.
She did have a death in the family, so we have to be mindful of that.
But the thing is, Mercedes had this whole big thing. She come out and everything. Now she's coming out every week, do commentating, coming out CEO.
Yo, that's
and
money.
It's like,
that's
and
money.
Like,
that's views.
It gets old. It gets old. That's all I'm saying.
Not to her fans.
But her talking. Her talking,
I'm her fan. I'm on the fence.
I'm her fan.
And he's her fan. I'm on the fence. There was a time, listen, you remember when she was on Raw and SmackDown, or specifically Raw, and you, it wasn't much going on for her, but there was still like this some type of excitement, like, okay, she's gonna probably have a match, she's probably gonna do this, that, and third. So I was still hyped to tune into Raw. With this past week with Dynamite, I was just like, I'm not excited. I'm not excited. I'm not fed up. I'm not excited. That's the word I'm using.
But when you saw him beat down backstage,
I didn't necessarily, I'll be honest, that it was, I like how she's promoting it on Twitter. When she started interacting with, when she was interacting with all the different women wrestlers in or the wrestlers in AEW, that's what I like from it. But from the actual promo itself, I was just like,
if she could be out here and be, like I said, be like Ospreay. Let's say I'm just using him for example, Ospreay. And like,
that was
like,
a good promo.
Yeah, that was a good promo. And then you sitting over here and you getting clicks off all your promos and you sitting over talking and engaged. And like she doesn't have that. She's never had that. That's never, right. That's not her strong point. Like remember, like we could sit here and like, this is like far-fetched, but you know what I'm talking about. When Austin was hurt. But he kept coming and doing promos and talking and everything and keeping everybody engaged. That's not what she is and what she's about.
No, I agree with that.
Like I said, for Boston, it was triumph. It was a triumphant moment because she's in our hometown. We hadn't seen her in a minute. You know, this is Mercedes. Like what we know, what she's that. And it was a decent. It was a pretty good promo. But like he said, if that's not your strongest point, and then you come out and you're doing that every week, and it's not your strongest point, and you're doing it every week, then it's like, all right. So now fast forward to this past Wednesday, I'm sitting there, like, the excitement is not there, because I already know she's not going to wrestle. She already said that. They already said she's not wrestling till May 26th, so I'm just like, okay. Is there a chance she's gonna even be on like that? And that's the thing with AEW too, because we've seen that there's a good possibility someone might not even be on. So that's the thing with too, like, yo, is she gonna be on? And then you finally see, like, last minute she's promoting that she's gonna be on. So that's my only thing. I'm a fan of hers, and I know we're all fans of her, and I'm riding it through. But I think there's a little more needs to be done.
Well, now I think that it'll be better that she has a story to promote. Going into May 26th.
I think it was more so
figuring out who's her first opponent, figuring out, like letting it set in, like, hey, let's make sure we see that every week. Because before the Discord always been, hey, don't just put people on TV to wrestle, give them a story. Even though it's Mercedes, they're like, oh, make sure that everybody knows who she is. She built that for a couple of weeks. They realized, you know, maybe not her talking every week is the best point. Let's start moving forward. What's the storyline? This is the storyline now. So let's see what we have, let's what 6 weeks of storyline to tell.
I like the storyline, because then, because my initial reaction on Twitter was, oh, Willow or Julia need to ask him. But then I forgot, you know,
Paige
Chris
there.
Chris could be one that attacked Mercedes for Willow. I like, you know,
right? Why are you not paying attention to me? Why are you focused on Willow?
I'm like,
Paige is back there. Paige is still back there. I mean, people forgot about.
Let's see where it goes.
Britt Baker's still back there. Britt Baker's forgotten about.
I hear what both of you saying. She's not her strongest point, but like you said, now there's a storyline. So I'm like, all right, now I'm not going to capitalize on this. Are they going to capitalize on it? But
are they going
to no more shots? Like,
will they be able to draw this out? Like, say, like, let's sit here and say it's not Willow or it's not everything, and it comes out that who attacked her, but she's fighting that double, double or nothing, and it's not the person that won. Is she gonna have a match before that? What's going to happen?
Because the first match, double or nothing, is gonna be for the TBS title, correct?
Yeah.
So now she gotta watch her back. If it's not one of those two, now she knows that she has to watch her back in her match.
At the end of the day, it's like, to wrap this up in a bow, it's like, there's a lot that can be done with her presence in AEW. Obviously, we saw, because we didn't get the chance to record that, the match between, what was the match that wound up being the main event?
Willow and Julia
Hart, and then was some, I think, that wasn't it a triple threat, or am I bugging? I can't remember, but that when
Julia Hart. It was Willow versus Sky Blue. Was it? No, I can't remember.
It was better than Julia. It was a tag team. That match was fire.
Right.
Fire. And then we wouldn't have tattooed in because if it wasn't for Mercedes, or the majority of people wouldn't have tuned in if it wasn't Mercedes' presence in AEW. So there's good in her, but like Coley said, it has to be, we have to capitalize on this.
And now, I always say this, this is the last thing. AEW needs to do better in their promotions. They need to, and because of the cities they pick, the way they promote during the week, like when they did the whole situation when they came to New York and have people go to Good Day New York and things of that nature, that helps. I feel like, and I feel like they're trying to get higher help for that as well. In that sense, we keep saying it's 5 years old, but it's still a baby, so they're figuring out a lot. But that's the show. I know we're all. This is one of those
episodes. You wanted to talk about so much under the sun that wasn't WWE. So
this might be. I might have split this up in two. I ain't gonna hold you.
I was thinking this needs to be split up.
I might have split this up in two: WrestleMania recap and a regular episode. Because
a couple of things. Yeah.
Yeah, right. We touched on everything here, but that's the show. Shout out to our guest down here, Tyler Tuesdays, our social media manager.
Talk to me, baby.
Pink Chloe. You see all the titles in the background. I don't know how he do it, but he got him.
Go ahead, promote your stuff.
Go ahead. Yeah. This is your platform right here.
I would say, you know, Title Tuesday, everybody show love, hashtag, I'll repost you. Coley's Corner, 7 o'clock Eastern, every Tuesday. Branching off to Thursdays, too, starting on this Thursday, 7 o'clock as well. Talk to me, baby.
He out here.
And I am... Miss Jenna Baby BAYBEE.
I'm Blue. Make sure you go cop that power for the power for the people. Know what I mean? On FoyRay.com. Purchase the Mixtack shows. Merch as well. How you do this?
And hit the merch for King Coley Title Tuesday.
Title Tuesday.
I don't know why that's not on For Your Wear, but we'll talk about that later.
There we go.
Business talk. Got Maggie Hill made an appearance.
Goodbye. Mwah. And good night. Bang.
Talk to me, baby.
The Mixtack Show.